When we hold on to grievance and pain from the past, we keep ourselves from being able to really move into our fullest expression of self. We need to practice forgiveness from the soul recovery perspective, dissipating the energy and releasing the past for good. If you're interested in this profound transformation, I invite you to join me in Colorado the weekend of June 8th and 9th to have an incredible experience with others on this same soul recovery journey. 2 full days of immersion in the soul recovery process where you will indeed leave transformed. You will be able to truly let go of these old pains and step into a new way of being. Check out the show notes for a coupon code and how to register. Being human isn't easy, and there is discomfort in being a human being. And yet, what we do when we feel this discomfort, when we need soothing, is we find an outside way to heal us, to fix us, to make us feel better. Sometimes that turns into an addiction. What may have been a glass of wine to take the edge off, for me, became 2 bottles of wine a night. What really is in need of us is to feel whole, to feel our wholeness. That is where our power is. That's where healing is. That's where comfort and just being able to be in the world is. My name is Reverend Rachel Harrison, and this is the Recover Your Soul podcast, a spiritual path to a happy and healthy life. I started Recover Your Soul after having profound changes in my life, from my recovery of alcoholism, control addiction, and codependency. I was guided to share the tools and principles of spirituality and soul recovery to help others transform their lives as mine was transformed. For us to overcome external circumstances, we must first turn the attention to ourselves, focusing on inner change. Positive results in our lives will follow. Welcome back to the Recover Your Soul podcast. I am Reverend Rachel Harrison, and I am so honored that you are here today to listen to the podcast. Before we get started on replacing addiction with wholeness, I have some housekeeping to do, and I don't do this very often. I just want to ask that if you are listening to this on a platform that has a follow, I ask you that you actually press follow so that you will receive notifications of new episodes. It also really helps to continue to spread the word. The algorithms love this kind of thing. If it shows that it's popular, then it lifts up higher in the registries. Also, same goes for 5-star reviews. And if you actually take the time to write out reviews, again, that really helps to continue to grow this community and bring this to even more people. And some of those reviews have just brought me to tears to know that what I'm doing here is touching lives. It means so much to me. Thank you so much. And then so many of you are sharing this with your friends and family that you think would enjoy the podcast and be part of the community. Thank you so much for doing that. I just appreciate each one of you that's listening. I really think of this as a community. I think of us all here together learning how to heal and how to recover our souls. Thank you for being part of that. Many of you have found Recover Your Soul because you have somebody in your life who is an addict, or maybe you've dealt with addiction. And when we say that, generally what we're thinking about is drugs and alcohol. But the truth is, we are all addicted. We're all addicted to control. We're all addicted to ourselves. And so in this episode, Replacing Addiction with Wholeness, I ask you to broaden your concepts. I ask you to allow yourself to think not only if you have something on the outside or somebody else has something that is seen by society as addiction, such as what I was as an alcoholic. And of course, we easily can see porn addiction or food or shopping or all the things that are out there. But really, what I want to talk about in this episode today is the emptiness that starts all of that. And that what we really want to look at in soul recovery, and this episode is not about you wanting to change or fix somebody else. This episode might give you some insight into how people got to where they're at. But again, in soul recovery, we're coming back to the only thing that we have control of, which is ourselves. We've spent so much time and energy trying to fix, help, save the other people in our lives that we ourselves have become control addicts. We've become consumed with the belief that we can do or fix or change somebody else. The more spiritual teachings that I absorb into myself, and I'm just so grateful to have the time and energy to spend quite a few hours every single day learning more tools, reaching more places of spirituality, reaching out further, really filling myself up with wisdom and knowledge and letting it incorporate into myself. And there is a common theme that I continue to feel, and this is what I wanted to talk about today, and it's around our inability to sit in our discomfort. It's around this belief that as human beings, we don't want to feel discomfort. We don't want to be in pain. We don't want to be in a situation where something doesn't feel good. And even as children, we immediately will give a child a snack, or we'll give a child a hug, or we'll give a child something to help soothe them. And that's important to do those things. Part of what we need more in childhood is for us to feel like we have somebody there who's to help us. But what ends up happening is that we get stuck in the belief that that needs to be resolved, that we need to feel okay, that we can't actually be in our discomfort. And I know that it's interesting that when you're young and you're hurting, what parents often will say is, you don't feel that way, you don't have to be sad, don't cry. Now, I know as my own mother that I was to my own children, I wanted to keep them from not feeling happy. I wanted to save them from that discomfort. And now I look and I think, did I do a good enough job with them to allow them to just be in how they were feeling and to be able to say, oh, I know that feels really sad. Yeah, I bet that feels hard. That was a big thing to go through. Wow, you really did a good job being able to manage that, which is very different than don't feel this way, do anything to not feel this way. To be honest, I'm not sure. I don't really remember back that well and what was really going on. And I was in the throes of my own addiction. This isn't a place to say what we should or shouldn't have done or what our parents shouldn't or should have done. Soul recovery is about learning how to release our judgment and our grievance and our guilt and our resentment and our shame and our blame for the other people in our lives and for ourselves. Soul recovery is about learning how to be present with what is. And so when we go back and we look at maybe how we were with our kids or how our parents were with us, it's not about saying, oh, this was right or this was wrong or this was good or this is bad. What we're actually learning how to do is the practice of just accepting what is, allowing it to be whatever it is, and to actually feel the feelings that we're trying to hide from. And those feelings that we're trying to hide from are the reason that we generally fall into an addiction, into something that's going to soothe those harms, soothe those pains, keep us from being in pain. And pain is inevitable. Being human, this human condition that we have, means that there's going to be pleasure and there's going to be pain. It's not about trying to only be in pleasure and not be in pain. It's not about trying to not have the world show up however it's going to show up. It's not about alleviating difficulty. Life is difficult. Life is impermanent. There is nothing that we can stand on that says this is solid ground because it is just constantly changing. That is part of the suffering that brings us to want to be soothed, to want to be checked out, to want to be rewarded, whatever it is that leads us into places of addiction. I said earlier that we all have an addiction to control and to ourselves. That's a pretty hard one to take in, isn't it? That we all are addicted to ourselves. We have these strong senses of self. And when this strong sense of self is attacked by somebody, when that strong sense of self is pushed by somebody, generally what we do is we attack back, we defend, we justify, We have reasons that we get more attached to wanting to stand in our self, this definition that we have of ourself. And through that, we lose the ability to feel whole. We lose the ability to have connection with our higher power and believe that we are basically good, that our nature is basically good, that we are whole, that we have worthiness, that we are innately worthy. And this part of us that wants the rest of the world to back us up, to see us, to give us validation, that is another part of us that can easily move into needing a substance or a behavior or something in our lives that covers up, again, that discomfort, that not feeling good. In soul recovery, what I want to offer is, can you allow yourself to begin to see that you can handle it, that you can be in the discomfort, that you can allow the feelings to wash over you, whatever they are, that you can actually allow pain to wash over you and not choose the suffering, that you can allow joy to wash over you and not attach to it, afraid that it's going to be fleeting, that you can allow anger to rise up in you and wonder what that's about and not have to act it out against somebody else, that you can be curious about what these feelings are and ask yourself, can I for this moment, just for this moment, can I be in this place with myself and not try to shut it down, not try to cover it, not try to use control, not try to use a substance or a behavior to mask this feeling? And the addiction that we all have to control is our need for the outside world to show up for us in a certain way. And the control shows up in different ways for every single person. Some people are overtly controlling, where they're demanding that people do exactly what they say and they don't give anybody a voice or a place to share what they need or want. And then there's the control that is more subtle than that, where we're trying to help, where we're really think that we're being of service to people when really what we're doing is we're trying to make it so that we're not uncomfortable, so that it can be in a way that feels better to us. When we can actually look at these things with clarity, when we can look at these aspects of ourselves without judgment, when we can look at them and say, ah, I see it, there it is, then we can start to work with our minds and work with our hearts. Then we can start to say, what's underneath that really feels empty in my soul? What is the pain that I'm trying to fill? Why don't I think I can do this? Why don't I think I can stand in the midst of the storm? Why am I afraid? As a spiritual coach, I can support you on your path to make deep and real changes that will bring you a life of peace, happiness, connection, and abundance. Visit the website recoveryoursoul.net to book coaching sessions, read the blog, listen to some of my original music, and subscribe to receive email updates. I think of Recover Your Soul as a community. Follow us on social media, join the private Facebook group, and even our monthly soul recovery support group on Zoom to support each other and connect. For an extra episode each week, become a Patreon member or subscribe on Apple Podcasts. If these episodes are helping you in any way and you want to donate, you want to really figure out how can I support this community and recover your soul, please look at the show notes below. There is a link to be able to donate monthly $3, $5, $8, or $10. This cost of a fancy cup of coffee would really help support this community and recover your soul. Together, we can do the work that will recover your soul. And these are big questions. It's not easy parts of our lives to be able to look deeply at ourselves. We're not in a society where there's a lot of reward for looking deeply at ourselves. We're in a society where we're rewarded for checking out. We're rewarded for looking good. We're rewarded for how many followers we have, how many likes we have on a post, how many parties we go to, what is the car you drive? Do you look young forever? This is what we're rewarded for in this society, but that's actually not making us feel whole. Replacing addiction with wholeness means that we begin to look at those aspects of what society thinks that we should be, and we recognize that they are not what we're looking for. We recognize that we are not separate from everyone else. We don't have to be in relationship with everyone else, but when we start to have compassion for ourselves first, when we start to come from loving kindness, when we start to have real awareness of those tender, soft places in ourselves that are hurting, the tender places of ourselves that are the ones that react or get defensive or want to respond with justification, those are the places that start to open our heart a little bit. And in that opening, we start to see the places in us that are afraid. We start to see the places in us that we're trying to cover up with whatever it is that we use to keep us from feeling. And we begin to ask questions about how true those beliefs are. And in soul recovery, through the steps of soul recovery, I've narrowed it down to, I think, 9 steps. And they have a flavor of the 12 steps, but it's always just helpful to have a path to move through. And in this path, what we're doing is we're learning to care about ourselves. We're learning to look in those dark places that seem like they're scary, dark alleys. And really, when you put a flashlight on them of awareness, there's not as much in there as you thought. That you can handle this, that you are worthy, that you are lovable, that you are whole, that you can see that childhood experiences or relationship experiences or young parts of yourself that had trauma really built up shields. They built up ways that you show up in the world that have either validated beliefs that are destructive or that you have set up ways of not showing up in the world for fear of being hurt. And at some point, you're here because you've decided that you want to wake up. You're here because you've decided you want wholeness. You're here because you've decided that you're worth it. And in this desire for worthiness, in this desire to replace addiction with wholeness, we need to do this work on ourselves of loving ourselves enough to see that we're worth it. At the end of a 12-step meeting, they say, it works if you work it and you're worth it. And it's funny because at first, when you kind of say that, you're like, okay, whatever, you know, everyone's holding hands and doing this thing. It works if you work it. You have to be the one that makes a decision that you're willing to make change. You stop looking at the world around you. You stop blaming everybody else for your unhappiness. You change your perception to see what you want to see. It is as I choose to see it is a foundational element of soul recovery. And this way that we choose to see it is also about how we choose to see ourselves. Can we recognize that the people in our lives who loved us when we were young and may not have given us everything that we needed, they did not intend to harm us? And even if they intended to harm us, they were harmed themselves. They didn't know better. And that you don't have to live a life that is determined by somebody else's unhealthiness. You do not have to be what somebody else said that you were. And so when we look at addiction and the choice that has to be made in this moment where you decide, am I ready to make a change? For those people that walk into a 12-step meeting like I did for alcoholism, when you walk in that door, you can walk in the door and say, I hope that these people will fix me. Or you walk in the door and you say, I'm ready to do whatever it takes. Well, the same thing goes when we're doing soul recovery and we're looking wider, broader at our lives. We're looking bigger at this way that we want to be in the world. Can we utilize the tools and the practices of spirituality, of connecting to a higher power, of being mindful, of being present, of choosing our way of thinking, feeling, and believing? Of believing that there is a higher power that can restore us to sanity and bring healing into our life, that we're willing to hand over our actions, our thoughts, our will to a loving source? Can we believe that there is a loving source? Do we think we're worthy of a loving source that wants nothing but your happiness and your health? And then we make decisions that say, I'm not going to eat that piece of cake. I'm not going to drink that drink. I'm not going to go to the store and buy this thing that I don't have the money for. I'm not going to try to fill the void. I'm going to sit with what is hurting. I'm going to sit with the discomfort and realize that I have the strength to allow these feelings to wash through me and complete, and that I will be okay, that I can make choices for myself that are based on my wholeness and not on my lack, not on emptiness. Being human isn't easy. And I think the older I get and the more work that I do, and the more that I read and the more that I study, the belief that there's a happily ever after is so detrimental, because happily ever after doesn't mean that there aren't issues, that there aren't struggles, that we don't continue to have problems in our life. It doesn't mean that there aren't wars or conflicts. It means that the way that we can be in them is better. It means that we are more connected to our feelings. It means that we have the strength to stand in something that is uncomfortable and not completely collapse, that we don't have to run off and use something to soothe ourselves and to get away from our feelings, that we can stand in the midst of hard feelings and be okay. And okay doesn't mean that there aren't feelings in there. It means that we are in it. We can do it. We can make it through it. We can stand in our adult, resourced, full self and know that it's not our younger sides of ourselves. It's not our wounded parts of ourselves that are showing up and trying to get their needs met, because we are meeting those needs for those other parts of ourselves through our soul recovered self. And interestingly enough, I do believe that then things don't feel as hard, that it does feel like life is working out for you, that it does feel like there's more movement and ease into the things that you are wanting to attract to yourself, that you start to realize your connection with some of the people that were in your old life, it just doesn't match anymore. It just doesn't fit with who you are and how you're moving forward. And that you have the strength and ability to make those kinds of decisions and with love and kindness move on in your life. Part of the fact that there's nothing that we can count on, that everything is always changing, that there is always movement, also means to allow yourself to move in your life through relationships, through jobs, through circumstances, through situations, and believe that you are being led on this river, this lazy spiritual river, towards something that is more aligned to your full self, that it's okay to move forward, that it's okay for things to change. That is another element of wholeness, that you trust and believe that there is something that is leading you to your best self. I think if we're honest, we'll never really rid ourselves of compulsion or addictions. And that's another place to be kind to yourself and allow for your humanness. Allow for yourself to be who you are and accept yourself fully and know that it's progress and not perfection. That every time you do one step better in a situation where you would have collapsed or you would have yelled or you would have completely fallen apart or you would have completely controlled or you would have used, that you didn't do that. To give yourself credit for that movement forward and see the benefits that it's providing in your life. There is no finish line that we get to until the moment that we give up this body. It's about continuing to grow, continuing to see yourself, continuing to understand who you are, continuing to love every aspect of yourself, the light and the dark, accepting every aspect of yourself. being willing to look in those places where maybe you feel like you've harmed someone. Maybe you feel like you didn't do the right thing, that you could have done better, and being kind to yourself, forgiving yourself, maybe making amends where you need to make amends, being in those uncomfortable feelings and not running from them, not running from what we actually don't even know what we're running from, having the strength to stand firm right here, right now. I encourage you to book coaching sessions with me if you are interested in working on this with me. These are big things to be able to stand in our feelings or recognize our feelings, to be able to leave behind the substances and behaviors that we use to cover up how we feel. Remember, this is a slow and steady process. This is small incremental steps of healing along the way. The number one thing is being kind to yourself, being loving to yourself, feeling the wholeness of yourself, and allowing that part of you to expand and grow. Until next time, namaste. Are you wondering, how do I go deeper on my soul recovery journey? Or how do I support this great podcast? Well, here's your call to action. If you're ready for real inner change and would like to work directly with me, visit the website and book a coaching session. I'm here to support you on your unique path. I'm here to help you let go of the past, to deepen your connection with higher power, whatever that is for you, and then to discover and step into a happy and healthy life of your making. You can also become part of the Soul Recovery community. One way is to join the support group. It's the first Monday of every month. It's on Zoom from 6 to 7 p.m. Mountain Time, and you can register on the website and get your Zoom link. It's the same link every month. We're also on social media. Of course, there's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and now even Insight Timer. Yes, lots of ways to connect. There is even a private Facebook group that will allow you for more communication and conversation about soul recovery with your community. If you'd like an extra bonus episode every Friday, you can become an Apple Podcast subscriber or choose your tier level of giving on Patreon. I'd also love all the listeners to subscribe on the website so that I can keep you informed on what's going on with the podcast, the community, with me, and anything that's up and coming and new and great about soul recovery. Also, if you just take a little bit of time and give me 5 stars, a quick review, share the podcast with friends and family, make sure you're subscribing however you listen to the podcast, we're helping even more people to have soul recovery in their lives. If this podcast is providing you spiritual nourishment and inspiration, thank you, thank you, thank you for going to the website, pushing the donate button, and giving whatever feels right to you. It means so much to me because I have this mission of sharing soul recovery with the world, and your donations, your bookings, your subscriptions, everything that you do to be part of this community is making all that happen. Together, we can do the work that will recover your soul. The Recover Your Soul podcast and its content is for educational purposes only and is not allied or representative of any organizations or religions. It's based on the opinions and experience of Reverend Rachel Harrison. Recover Your Soul claims no responsibility to any persons or entity for any liability, loss, damage, or cause alleged to be caused directly or indirectly as a result of its use. Applications or interpretations of the information represented herein. Take what you need and leave the rest.